When President Obama appeared on Marc Maron's WTF podcast last year, he told Maron that one of his favorite hobbies was watching his daughters grow up. When historians write about presidents, they rarely pay much attention to how they approach fatherhood, and yet 38 out of 43 of them have been biological fathers, and others adopted children. In his latest book, First Dads, Joshua Kendall explores how fatherhood may have shaped the history of the United States, examining the connection between parenting style and leadership style. The book is published by Grand Central Publishing. I'm very pleased it has brought Joshua Kendall to our show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Leonard.
How did you come up with the idea of equating presidential leadership styles to parenting?
For my last book, it was called America's Obsessives, and I wrote about American icons who had an obsessive temperament from Jefferson to Jobs. And I was studying Thomas Jefferson, and I realized that he's America's apostle of freedom. At the same time, he was a control freak. And with his daughters, he was constantly bossing them around, and he wanted them their dress to be spotless. And I said, oh my gosh, here's this guy who, on the one hand, when he leads the nation, is always arguing for freedom, but in his own family, is very controlling.
Well, he was a mess of contradictions. He was also a slave owner. But has much been written about this before? Because parenting is an extremely private affair.
Exactly. And there really have been two obstacles to this topic. One is the families themselves who want to keep the information private. Not only recent families, but historically there have been a lot of letters that are missing, and families don't want historians to know. But historians themselves tend to think the topic is kind of squishy, that, you know, why would you really care what kind of relationship Obama has with his daughters? But I found that it has a huge influence on American history. Just take this election, 2016. The reason Joe Biden is not running against Hillary Clinton today is that he lost his son. And I found that Calvin Coolidge lost his son in 1924. Remember, in 1933, when he dies, Dorothy Parker says, how could they tell? Well, from 1924 to 1933, Calvin Coolidge was very depressed. And as I argue, his depression may have well have caused the Great Depression. He was kind of out of it for the last several years of his presidency.
Although Hoover then came in and compounded the situation.
Sure.
And JFK lost his son, Patrick, who lived just 2 days, just months before he was assassinated.
Yes.
I don't think there's any link there, but
What's interesting about
it must have had some kind of impact on his life.
Yes, it definitely did, and the JFK biographers tend to believe that what it did was sort of cement his marriage. His marriage was kind of crumbling because of all his affairs, and he and his wife for his last few months really connected in a deeper way through this shared loss.
Well, so one of the things that we're not talking about here is the wives. If a husband had lousy parenting skills, wasn't that often compensated for by a wife who might have seen some problems there?
Yes, and historically the dads have had all the power in the family until recently, until the last generation, but they also have not had that much involvement. I divide the presidents into various categories, and the largest category is preoccupied dads. Mm-hmm. As Jimmy Carter's eldest son said, dad was kind of driven, and you don't get to be president unless you're very driven. And so these preoccupied dads were often absentee dads.
And often aloof as well.
Often aloof. And the mothers had much more influence on the child. Calvin Coolidge was a very aloof dad, but he was often separated from his family, and his wife Grace was very sweet, and the surviving child had a pretty good childhood.
What about FDR, who had a bunch of kids and who seems to have been a rather aloof dad, but he had Eleanor. Was she a good mother?
Eleanor was also a bit of a mess. Eleanor had a kind of tragic upbringing, and she really didn't have much connection with her own parents.
So that's why that was a kind of dysfunctional family?
Yes, and FDR's kids, there's a line in The Great Gatsby about those playboys who kind of smash things up, and that seems to apply to FDR's sons. And he's a fascinating case because he was a dad to anonymous Americans. when he dies in 1945, millions of Americans feel as if they've lost their father. But to his own children, a completely different part popped out, and he was very dependent, the sort of the invalid. I mean, he was literally leaning on his son to give speeches, and his sons were parentified. They were kind of taking care of him so that he could take care of the nation.
A number of our presidents have been kind of father figures for the country. George Washington, obviously. More recently, Ronald Reagan had that kind of appeal to many people.
And Reagan was also like FDR, that with his own family, there was a lot of alienation, and he really couldn't connect with his own kids, but he could connect with they were both great communicators with the nation, but kind of lousy communicators at the dinner table.
And Nancy didn't pick up the slack there?
The story that's come out after Nancy's death recently is that Ronald and Nancy Reagan were very devoted to each other, and the children were really kind of second-class citizens in the family.
It's interesting that the father of our nation, George Washington, didn't have kids or
yes.
biological children.
Yes, and that's actually one of the reasons why he became our first president. Obviously, he was a military leader and beloved, but we had just gotten the Brits out of our face, and the idea of giving power to a man who had sons was scary. So George Washington was kind of a safe choice because he couldn't pass on the reins of power to his own children, and he even makes a note of that in the first draft of his inaugural address.
But not long after, we have John Adams, and then his son becomes president
right.
not long after.
And there was a lot of concern that John Adams would, he was dubbed a monarchist by his enemies. There was a lot of concern that he was going to do just that. And John Adams...
And the Adams family is a rather distinguished family in American history. It wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world.
But John Adams was what I call a tiger dad. He basically said to his son, John Quincy, unless you're president, you're a failure. And that worked with John Quincy. John Quincy did become president, but it was too much pressure on his two other sons, who both had problems with alcohol and severe depression.
You actually describe three types of fathers here: authoritarian, authoritative, and permissive. So who would you say are the top three in each category?
Authoritarian, so Adams, John Adams, John Quincy Adams, and Dwight Eisenhower.
Do we see John Quincy Adams reflected in the way his father had brought him up?
Yeah, he's even more severe than his...
Was
Dwight Eisenhower.
Who was a general?
We think of Eisenhower as this kind of doddering golfer, but to his son in the 1920s, his son John, he was very scary. I mean, he was a military man, and over there at West Point, he once tackled Jim Thorpe. He was a linebacker, and John Eisenhower said, if my father had hit me, he might have killed me. And he didn't, but he was scary. So John Eisenhower said that he was born standing at attention. So
what about the other generals who became presidents? U.S. Grant, for example.
U.S. Grant was actually permissive, and that's so interesting that he was compartmentalized, because the Southerners saw him as a violent maniac by destroying the South. But with his children, he loved to play, and he also couldn't set any rules. So that kind of classic permissive. Another permissive would be George W. Bush. Permissive often fall under what I call playful pals, that the way they connect with their children is through play. And George W. Bush has this kind of clownish side that came out in his relationships with his daughters. And then authoritative are what I call nurturing dads. And the three examples I focus on are Obama, Rutherford B. Hayes, and Harry Truman. And what's so interesting...
And Harry Truman was just so protective of Margaret.
Yes.
He got angry when she got a bad review in the Washington Post.
Oh, yeah. He threatened to crown the reporter. But his wife, Bess, was kind of traumatized. Her father committed suicide when she was 18, and she never got over it. She was just very, very anxious. So when Margaret wants to become a singer in the 40s, Bess says, come on, Margaret, you've got to have kids and get married. And Harry says, Margaret, she wants to become a warbler? Let her become a warbler. And he was just so supportive. And what's interesting about Obama and Hayes, Rutherford B. Hayes, is that neither of them really knew their own father. So Obama fathers as he was mothered, and the same with Hayes. Rutherford B. Hayes never really knew his own father, and he fathers as he was mothered.
My guest is Joshua Kendall, who's written a book called First Dads, Parenting and Politics from George Washington to Barack Obama. A listener wonders, wasn't Abraham Lincoln a great father?
Abraham Lincoln is kind of a mixed bag because his first son, Robert, he never sees. He's preoccupied. And Robert goes to Harvard, and he says that during the Civil War, he never spent more than 10 minutes with his father. And as a child, Lincoln was always on the road. But with his son, Willie, Lincoln was very close, and he saw that Willie was like his soulmate. But he dies in 1862, and that's, and I have this, you know, we've talked before about the grieving dads like JFK, and that also has a huge effect on Lincoln, and some historians have argued that that kind of hardened Lincoln and gave him the chops to really step up the Civil War.
Does it matter whether the children were boys or girls? For example, Richard Nixon and his daughters?
Sometimes, like Woodrow Wilson.
Bush also with his daughters?
Some parents, and this would include the presidents, are just more comfortable with children of one gender or the other. For instance, Woodrow Wilson had a very tough father, and he was very uncomfortable around men, but he had a sweet, loving mother, and he had three daughters, and he was very connected to his daughters, and he was a playful pal. And we think of Wilson as this dour intellectual, but with his daughters, he would be dancing around the White House and the life of the party, and we don't usually think of Wilson in those terms.
Well, maybe he liked them because they were white.
yeah, that's come out a lot recently.
Why is it that the distant, aloof, and puritanical fathers were more likely to be seen as father figures by the public than by their children?
And I think that this election is kind of like that. I mean, that we're kind of looking for a strong father, and I think some of the appeal of Trump, I think if you're around someone day in and day out, it's kind of exhausting, and the children usually don't appreciate it. But for some reason, the anonymous Americans, maybe you don't have to have breakfast with the guy, seem to prefer, or sometimes prefer, a very strong father.
Does the parenting style in the end in any way signal the success of a presidency?
I guess the way I see it is that the nurturing dads, the authoritative ones, are consistent and solid, but they tend not to be the most dynamic presidents. So Obama and Truman would be examples of that. I've just written about this in a recent article for Parade magazine. And so they're solid, and Truman's numbers were terrible when he left. About 20% of the people liked him. But historians now see Truman as a pretty decent president, whereas preoccupied fathers, people who aren't as sensitive to relationships and don't connect as much with their children, are kind of a bigger risk. And you can see that in Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson said, I think about politics only 18 hours a day, mm-hmm. and he really spent time with his daughters. And for the first year of his presidency, was a great president in terms of getting a lot done, including the Civil Rights Act. But then that same preoccupation led to Vietnam, and he was just really out of touch with reality for the last few years of his life and stepping up the war effort.
What about the presidents who had affairs on the side? There are any number of them.
Yes.
That would have kept them away from their kids as much as it kept them away from their duties as president.
Yeah, my book's about fathering, so the way I approach that topic is to
talk... And would the kids have been aware?
The way I approach that topic is to talk about presidents who double-dealing dads, presidents who had illegitimate kids. Warren Harding had an illegitimate child. I'm not so much interested in the affairs, but interested in fathering. Warren Harding, Grover Cleveland is another example, Thomas Jefferson. There's also some pretty good evidence that LBJ, there's very solid evidence that he had lots of affairs and he used to brag about it, but that he had an illegitimate child. There's some canceled checks in support of that. And then the most interesting example, which I uncovered based on research in the South, was that John Tyler, Tippecanoe and Tyler II in the election of 1840, came in as vice president, became president, fathered dozens of slave children, including a few whom he sold. And I talk about this double-dealing dad, that he basically betrayed his black children, but he also betrayed the country in the Civil War. There were five former presidents alive in 1861, and he was the only one to side with the South, and Lincoln refused to acknowledge his death.
Are there any records of presidents who abused their children or at least leaned heavily on corporal punishment?
Corporal punishment is very hard to discover as a historian. There are no records. There certainly are possibilities, and John Quincy Adams was very severe, and one of his children commits suicide, and there are a couple of candidates, that might be an example. But it's getting very hard to find evidence. But Quincy Adams was definitely very, very stern and a bit over the top.
You suggest that Jimmy Carter's parenting style contributed to his brokering the Middle East peace agreement.
Well, I guess what was surprising about Jimmy Carter is that he was a peaceneck and as a president, but in his own family. He was kind of tough. He would spank his children. Chip Carter told me that he used to say, when he was punished, his father would say, "I will spank you tomorrow," which made his anxiety all the greater. So Carter had a peaceful side in the president, and that was basically his biggest success, certainly his biggest foreign policy success. But in the family, he was very tough and a bit of a disciplinarian. But what I found very moving about Carter is that late in life, he kind of regretted that he hadn't been as good a parent as he had hoped.
Joshua Kendall, whose previous books include a couple that have to do with words and language, has focused on presidents for his most recent book, First Dads, Parenting and Politics from George Washington to Barack Obama. It is published by Grand Central Publishing. And it has been a great pleasure having you on our show.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Leonard.